Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 International Film Festival Rotterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Konstantin Bozhanov, who is presenting his film Light Thereafter. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, a very simple question to start off the interview, maybe even the most annoying question I'll ask you during this interview, is would you like to introduce your film and maybe tell our listeners what it's all about?
Light Thereafter is a coming-of-age story. It's a 16-year-old character who is Holden Caulfield, who runs away from home to go and look for his idol, an elderly artist, not unlike J.D. Salinger. The story is told in reverse from the point of his inner catharsis back to where the journey starts from.
Right. The obligatory follow-up question is why this story? Do you have a personal connection with it?
I do have a personal connection to it, although I don't believe that stories need to be necessarily personal. The most obvious connection is the film deals with art. I'm a fine artist. I make art as well as films, and very much like the protagonist Pavel, when I was in my mid-teens, I decided to leave art school and go and live in a village where an artist that I had idealized had lived decades earlier, which is an even crazier sort of notion than what Pavel attempts to do in the film, because at least he goes there to meet someone who is still alive and working as an artist, and not the ghost of someone.
Right, interesting. Tell me about the choice of structure in the film. In a sense, it's not your typical chronological, traditionally structured story.
The structure of the film was of a paramount importance to me, as I always wanted the film to read as fragmented memory of life-altering events, rather than a film which evolves in a linear way and presents the events sequentially as they happen. Mm. I wanted the film to be like a mosaic that you need to step a few feet further to assemble the whole picture, and telling the story in reverse for me was the obvious way to do that. I didn't want to tell the story through flashbacks or through sort of linear narrative.
Right. In terms of, because this is a film that sort of deals with art, you know, it is an important element. Did it affect the visual style of the movie?
Very, very much so. And the art, which is used in the film for the fictional characters in the film, was a deliberate choice. Work of the fictional artist Arnaud, I used the paintings of a contemporary artist that I extremely admire. There's also art by a younger generation of artists which we see throughout the film, but in some ways I also wanted the film to read as each chapter to be as painting itself, and to have these sort of barely perceptible changes of gamma and tones and throughout the film, barely perceptible, yet being able to sort of affect you on an emotional level.
I wanted to go back to the coming of age aspect of the movie, because and talk a little bit more about the leading character in this film. Obviously, because he's in his mid-teens, then you would think that, you know, that it would be kind of most of the time when we see a film about a mid-teen, it's usually stereotyped in a way. But the leading character here is going through his own kind of evolution, his personal evolution, sexual awakenings, new experiences. And he's I was wondering how you put it all together. to come up with a definite kind of, you know, unique personality.
The difference here, I believe, comes from the fact that the character has a borderline Asperger syndrome affliction, which makes him feel further alienated within his family as well as within his social environment. He focuses on people and activities with extreme obsessiveness, with almost tunnel vision, and on the way to sort of achieving his ultimate goal of meeting his idol, with the idea of becoming his apprentice, a very romantic and utopian notion to begin with. On the way, he tries to attach to various characters that he encounters on the road, perceiving that he could have an emotional and even physical connection with them.
Which maybe is also enhanced by the fact that there's so many cultural backgrounds to the characters that he meets, and even himself, because he was born in the UK, but he's from Bulgaria.
Correct. That was an important and deliberate choice to be someone between someone torn between two cultures, being born into a culture, belonging to a certain degree to it, yet not belonging fully, and not belonging to his own culture, and not even knowing it that well. And I can very sort of relate on a personal level very much to this notion of feeling disconnected and feeling on the outside. I have spent the majority of my life outside of my native country, in Bulgaria, so that further sort of enhances that feeling of alienation and disconnect, on top of the usual teenage anxiety and trying to make sense of the world around you.
Very interesting. Just a little, as a little, you know, behind the scenes on the actual making of the movie, how long did it take to make? Was it a lengthy project, even from the moment that you had the idea? How long has it lasted?
The film took a very long time to make for a variety of reasons. In between my last feature, Ave, and Light Thereafter, I tried to make two other films. Mm. One of them I simply couldn't finance. It was a loose adaptation of Crime and Punishment, set in Brooklyn, New York, with a young Moroccan protagonist again, who came to the States with his mother when he was 4 years old. So there's certain themes in that project that I carried on to Light Thereafter. Later, I rewrote the project for another director, and the project is currently in casting. Film is currently in casting. It will be filmed this spring. I also embarked on another rather difficult project I'm still hoping I can make. It started as a documentary in India, and it progressed into this love story between two teenage prostitutes. Again, not an easy film to make, but I love the story and I haven't given up on it. Light Thereafter took... it was such a... it's not altogether that difficult film to make, but the sort of developing and the production of the film almost resembled the production of Apocalypse Now on a small scale. It was a complete sort of nightmare of things going wrong, of financing falling through, cast members just disappearing, and it is a film that taught me a lot the hard way. And so how long altogether was it in the I think I spend from the initial sort of outline and an idea, spend a little over 3 years on the project. Mm.
Just one more thing that I forgot to ask you is Barry Keoghan is really good in this film. Could you maybe tell us how you worked with him? Because he's pretty much, you know, he delivers an intense performance in this movie. Give him a shout out.
Yeah, he's amazing. He really carries the film, and the film would have not been what it is without him. I was convinced that Barry was Pavel from the very first minute of an iPhone audition that I saw that the casting director sent me. I knew nothing about him, but I Pavel was in front of me, and I had really no doubts that I wanted him to play the lead. I had seen prior to him, probably at least a couple of hundred like young aspiring actors of that age. So he is fantastic, and I'm very happy for the way his career as an actor is going, and I really wish him tons of luck in the future. And also, I hope we can work on another project together.
Very good. I hope so too. And I hope you will be we'll be meeting you again to talk about it. So in the meantime, thank you very much for talking to us about Light Thereafter, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.